It premieres tonight on HBO. And that does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Happy birthday, Robbie Caron.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
Hi, this is Al McFarlane, host of The Conversation with Al McFarlane. You're listening to 98.3 FM, KFAI, Minneapolis. I'm Al McFarlane. Welcome back to The Conversation with Al McFarlane. As always, so glad that you are joining us here in KFAI land and across the variety of social media platforms that we are presenting through. I'm pleased to talk to one of my friends and person that I just admire for her brilliance, her genius, and her accomplishments as a creative and community. I know her family. We go back, so we've been warriors for the culture for 50 years, for sure. And so our conversation simply is an extension of a work that I believe all of us were born to do and fortunate enough to live in our purpose and our intention. Well, I'm talking to Bianca Rhodes. Bianca, welcome to The Conversation with Al McFarlane. How are you doing, my friend?
Thank you. I'm doing great. It's so great to be on your show. I'm usually put behind the camera.
Well, you make the show possible. We've done wonderful cooperative and collabs together over at SPNN, where you play a major role in bringing media knowledge, information to our community. And thank you for all of that. But you're also, not only are you famous, you're from a famous family. I'll drop it out like that.
So I'm going to have you
introduce yourself and tell me and our viewers and listeners why you're so famous.
Okay. Well, again, my name is Bianca Rhodes, and I consider myself a daughter of the Minneapolis Sound. My father is Jelly Bean Johnson. And yes, he was in Purple Rain. And then my uncle, Pete Rhodes, is one of the first Black cable radio owners. When cable first came out, he was able to get a frequency. And so back in that day, it would be on TV, but you would hear the radio. And so he was the very first Black business owner for that. And he had Comcast Channel 937 for a very long time and Urban Perspectives at WCCO. And yeah, he's been my mentor since I was 14 and helping out with the family business, helping out with the Minnesota Black Music Awards, which is responsible for so many careers. That's when Next had debuted their song Butter Love, stuff like that. And I've been around it my whole life. There's actual footage from TBT television of a five or six year old me with beads and everything in the audience. At one of the Minnesota Black Music Awards. So this is my life.
I've both supported and participated in the Minnesota Black Music Awards. And I was telling, I interviewed the director and writer of the Broadway production that's going on right now in downtown Minneapolis. I interviewed them and told them that, you know, so glad that they're premiering Purple Rain here in downtown Minneapolis. It deserves to be here, but I wanted to get a sense of how they had a chance to explore and experience the Minneapolis Sound and the Minneapolis community that produced that sound. So I mentioned that I had the chance to, one of many, but one to introduce Prince and present an award to him as my role in the Minnesota Black Music Awards as a presenter. So
that's amazing.
Pete and Kim and the awards, and we always collaborated to elevate Black culture, Black music. Well, you're in that tradition right now, and you have launched a new enterprise. The enterprise, let's get the name of it.
Be Lovely Production and LeMay Photography. The LeMay comes from my grandma and my great grandma. So that'd be Bertha Lee Fondren and Georgia May Johnson. Mm-hmm. So LeMay Photography. Be Lovely Production, of course, everyone calls me Bianca Be Lovely. That's my nickname for everyone. And even though I've been in media now for over 25 years, I started when I was 14. I was a freelancer for a long time, but I didn't know what I was doing. People don't tell you, like, those taxes and, you know, equipment, you know, and needing to reinvest in equipment and stuff like that. And so I was just going out there running and hustling for a while. And then I was fortunate enough to get some help to create the financial structure of my business. And so now I'm in a great place because I know where to put the money and my taxes. It's been great. I can sponsor events and stuff like that. Like, it feels very different, and I'm so happy and I'm so fortunate to be having my very first photo exhibit coming up on Wednesday.
We'll talk about that in a second. I'm Al McFarland. This is The Conversation with Al McFarland. And we're talking about Bianca Rhodes' new business. We'll be back in 1 second. Stay tuned. I'm with Senator Tina Smith, and we're talking about major concerns that I have and that she has about our country. Among them, the government shutdown, Trump deploying U.S. troops to American cities, and also the assault on the Voting Rights Act. Senator Smith, we just passed the weekend of the No Kings Act. What's your impression? What did you do for the No Kings observation? Yeah. And what do you assess the impact of that to be?
Well, it was incredible, Al. We had the organizers told us that they counted over 100,000 people in just in the Minneapolis No Kings rally. And there were 80 of these events all over Minnesota, and I think nearly 2,000 all over the country. So millions and millions of Americans showed up. And what is interesting to me is there were people who came who have said that they never go to these kinds of big, large political demonstrations, that they felt called to be here for this. And I spoke at the very beginning of the Minneapolis event, and it was an incredible experience. And I felt like the positive energy and the sense of patriotism that this is what we should be doing in our country, is using our voices and understanding that power comes from the people, and that the positivity of it was really inspiring to me.
So right now, Senator, we're looking at the government being shut down. We're in 13, 14, 15 days almost now. Why? Why did it happen, and what are we going to do?
Well, this is part of the long kind of process that the Trump administration has been going through. The federal government is shut down because Republicans are hell-bent to keep health insurance costs high for Americans. We know in Minnesota and all across the country that people who buy their health insurance, especially on the exchanges, are seeing their premiums be double and in some cases triple what they were this year, next year. And why is that happening? Because the Republicans refuse to extend the tax credits that people can use to buy down their health insurance so that they're more affordable. But here's the thing that everyone needs to understand. Remember last summer when Republicans passed their partisan, big, beautiful bill, only Republican votes? And what they did in that bill is they extended the tax breaks for the wealthiest Americans, mm-hmm. the biggest corporations, but they didn't take care of this looming challenge to Americans who are trying to afford their health insurance. And that's what we're fighting about right now. We're simply saying, work with us, let's negotiate to figure out how to keep this massive price increase from hitting Americans.
So how does this tie into this whole idea of Trump and his team, Republicans, basically prioritizing billionaires over working class people?
Yeah, well, this is who they are. I mean, this administration is so corrupt. Understand, this is the administration that on Inauguration Day had on the dais in the United States Rotunda the biggest tech billionaires sitting right up there next to former presidents. This is the administration, the family, the Trump family, that is enriching themselves on crypto, using the White House to enrich themselves. And this is the same administration that is sending masked federal agents into apartment buildings or scooping people up off the street, black and brown people, of course, not white people, with no due process.
And not yet.
Yes, that is right. That
not
is
yet.
Exactly right. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm so glad you said, I mean, when I think about watching what happened to my colleague, Alex Padilla, United mm-hmm. States Senator from California, who was yeah. thrown to the ground by the security detail of Kristi Noem, head of Homeland Security, and in a federal building, when he had every right to be there. And if you think, if they do that to Senator Padilla, what do they do to some person who doesn't have any power, who is just walking down the street?
Mm-hmm. And so they're deploying troops, threatening D.C., Chicago, other cities, mm-hmm. often without the consent of the governors or local officials. The courts have kind of, at this point, nodded and approved these intrusions. Where do we mm-hmm. go? What's going to happen?
So, you know, the courts have been sort of mixed on this. They have said that the president cannot deploy National Guard members from other states into Oregon, for example. But mm-hmm. they did, you know, they have allowed some of these incursions in other states. So it's very confusing. It's very mixed. I think about the great Minnesota National Guard. Those people are well trained. They are patriotic. They are really excellent people, and they are not trained to go in and do law enforcement. And so what the president is doing is turning the United States military against, using the United States military against United States citizens, which is illegal.
So does our governor have any authority to prevent the mobilization of Minnesota's National Guard? How does it work?
Well, so when it's ironic that the last time that the Insurrection Act was used nationally to deploy the military to protect American citizens, it was to protect the protesters during the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. That was there to protect people who were demonstrating for their mm-hmm. civil rights. And now Trump is doing, I mean, I would argue, you know, kind of the opposite of that.
Yes,
Governor Walz does have the authority. He is the commander-in-chief of the National Guard. And typically, the National Guard is brought in to help with national disasters or natural disasters, or occasionally in order to reestablish order if there is, like, for example, the National Guard was deployed during the civil unrest after the murder of George Floyd. But what Trump is doing is unprecedented, to basically take control of the National Guard and then try to use one state's National Guard in another state for his political aims.
So this lines up with the other thing that I mentioned that is fearful, that I fear, and that is a wholesale onslaught mm-hmm. or the dismantling effort to dismantle voting rights. There's a case in Louisiana, Louisiana versus Calais. It's a voting rights case that specifically attacks Section 2 of the mm-hmm. Voting Rights Act. Explain that, if you would. What does it mean, and what do we do?
Well, so first I want to observe that it is very related, because there's many people who are quite concerned that this is what Trump is doing with the National Guard is a bit of a dry run to what he might do during the elections in 2026 and send in National Guard or other military to intimidate voters who are exercising their right to vote. So you have that happening. And then you have what's going on with the Supreme Court with arguments that they heard last week. It's very concerning. Essentially, they were questioning whether the Voting Rights Act provisions, which makes it illegal to gerrymander based on race, are relevant anymore to the political environment that we're in. They're basically saying we're not really sure that racism exists when it comes to district drawing in congressional races or other electoral processes. This would be basically the end of the Voting Rights Act, and it would be devastating. It would have devastating political consequences, because in many of these southern states, but for the Voting Rights Act, you have black votes being diluted across multiple districts, and people are losing they will lose their voice. They will lose their representation as a result of it.
And I fear, my colleagues in the Black community fear, the effort is not just the voice, but the freedom itself.
Yes.
To move us back to their expectation that America would be great if we were in a subservient position, which I say that we will not and cannot and must not return to. Right. So what's your message, Senator Smith, to Black and brown voters? They're watching this stuff happen. How do they ensure, how do we ensure that our voices count?
Yeah. Well, so my first message is that Black and brown voters need, deserve, and must look for elected leaders who are going to be bold, who are going to challenge the status quo, who are going to go after what I believe is a system that is really rigged against regular folks. When you see billionaires and big corporations raking in all the money while everybody else is paying the price, this is an economic system that is rigged. And we all need to have elected people and candidates that are going to challenge that and are going to be courageous. The second thing I would say is that right now, what Donald Trump is trying to do is to tell us all that we don't have any power, that we should be exhausted, that we should just go home and give in and give up. And we cannot let him win. He is actually, I think, weaker than he would like us to believe. I think he is unpopular in this country. And like all bullies, no bully is ever as strong as they want you to believe. And so this is the moment where all of us need to really use our power and be willing to use our votes and our voices to protect this democracy. And I know over the long haul, make it live up to all of its promise.
Senator Smith, thank you so very much for your time, for your work, and for your service. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
See you next time. Thank you, Al.
Take care. Bye-bye. I'm Al McFarland. This is The Conversation with Al McFarland, and we'll continue our program in just a minute. Senator, thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm Al McFarland. This is The Conversation with Al McFarland. I'm glad to continue today's program with a wonderful interview about an important event. Many of you are familiar with the work of Minnesota Women in Film and Television, but there's a particular element work group within that is putting on an important event in the next day or so. That group is called their Committee on Melanated and Inclusion. That might not be the right way. I'll get that straight in a second. But the event is called In Front of the Lens and Behind the Camera. It's an event coming up this Sunday, October 26th, from 2:30 to 6:30 p.m. at PAR 365. That's a venue at 2655 Patton Road in Roseville. And I love the idea, behind the lens, or in front of the lens and behind the camera. Well, who's joining me to talk about that is one of the organizers and principals in this initiative, a member of the committee. Jocelyn P. Johnson. Jocelyn, welcome to the conversation. How are you?
I am amazing. Thank you so much for having me, Al McFarland. I before we got started, I said, hold on, you're a part of my village.
That's right. That's
you know my parents.
We go back. We go back a generation. So
and it's so important to for us as the village to continue that type of conversation and acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. And I feel like this event is an extension of that. So thank you so much for having me.
That's a good way to start this conversation. Let's go back and deal with who we are and who you are, because I think it's important to share that your mom and dad are heroes in the village. Talk about who they are and in the process describe who you are, Jocelyn.
Most definitely. Thank you so much for saying that. My parents are legends then and heroes. My father is W. Rayford Johnson, a musical legend and icon. He's taught hundreds of thousands of students, I want to say, in the state of Minnesota. His students range from Jelly Bean Johnson to Terry Lewis of Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis to Prince, to Stokely of Mick Condition, to the members of Next. Majority of his students, also Walker West Music Academy's son, Marcus Walker, who is mm-hmm. the music manager for Lettucey. And the list goes on of all of the innovative leaders that my dad has been able to not only just be an educator for, but also a father figure and mentor to. And my father, for about 35 years in the Twin Cities, led the Martin Luther King Jr. March to mm-hmm. the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And in the cold, rain or shine, my father would be there marching with community activists and has been just a beacon of light in our community. So we're thankful and grateful for him. And my mother, Irma Johnson. So my father taught St. Paul Public Schools. My mom took over Minneapolis Public Schools as an administrator. And she's taught hundreds of thousands of students as well who have gone on to become administrators, become public leaders. My mother is heavily active with Delta Sigma Theta Incorporated sorority. She's at the Capitol all the time, rallying and getting our kids to vote. So I have big shoes to fill, and I don't take that lightly.
Well, so what's your own academic career? You come from a family of academics and people who hold education at the highest level for their expectations of themselves, and I know of your family. Your father and mother have high, high, high standards.
Yes, they do.
tell me about Jocelyn then.
So I'm an actress. I have my BA in theater arts, but I also minored in anthropology. So I am an activist in African anthropology. I love to discover our culture. I'm also really focused in on our heritage, which is Algonquian. It's also known as Cherokee. So mm-hmm. I like to deep dive in the anthropology of our culture and really bring it into what is happening in the forefront, especially with the uproar of our country at this time. So that's a part of my background, but I'm an actress and a model. So I work in front of the camera, but I also work behind the camera. I own Jopene Productions, which is a placement agency for crew and talent to find work, but I also produce our own works. We specialize in documentaries, live events, music videos, reality shows, television, you name it, we're in there.
Name some projects you've worked on that I might recognize.
We did We Next Artists, which is a documentary about five artists on the east side of St. Paul, an up-and-coming day-in-the-life story of rags to riches. Some of those artists now have opened up for Kendrick Lamar and are touring the world from the beginning to the end. It's pretty thrilling to understand their story and to follow them to where they are now. I also recently completed too many documentaries for my client, Mita, and that covers a Brazilian architect by the name of Damaris Hollingsworth and her mm-hmm. journey from being an expat, being an immigrant, to making it in America and providing opportunities for our communities. I also covered Devin George, a former NBA all-star from the north side of Minneapolis, who is now a real estate developer, covered his documentary as well. So we've been busy. We've been busy providing job opportunities for underrepresented artists here in the Twin Cities.
That's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Let me share my screen here. And for our radio audience, they can sort of visualize what you and I are looking at. What I'm pulling up is the flyer for the Minnesota Women in Film and Television Melanated and Inclusion promotion for In Front of the Lens, Behind the Camera. Talk about this event. It's happening this Sunday, 2:30 to 6:30 at PAR 365. I want to talk about them as well, but talk about the event. What's what's going to happen, and why is this event so important?
This event, let me give you just a little bit more background. So sure. I am the leader of Melanated and Inclusion Committee. I was voted onto the board for Minnesota Women and Film and Television back in February. And by April, collectively, they asked me to lead this committee because of my initiative and work in our communities and my passion for our youth activation within our Black, Indigenous, and people of color community, as well as our LGBTQ+ community. And so I prayed on it. I said, God, you've given me this torch. How can I lead best your message of bringing people together, reigniting our village through the lens of film, TV, and media arts? And God said, create a series, In Front of the Lens, Behind the Camera. And this brings together Black, Indigenous, people of color, LGBTQ, but also our youth, bringing them together for mentorship, to be exposed to industry leaders, and also network and provide scholarship and opportunity. So that's a little bit about our committee. The event, In Front of the Lens, Behind the Camera, that's going to be October 26th at 2:30. Please get your tickets. It's going to be an outstanding event. What we have lined up is like none other. We have three expert panelists. We have Spike Lee's first assistant director. Mm-hmm, Spike Lee. We also have... We also have the casting director of Chicago Fire, who was constantly looking for talent and crew. Mm-hmm. We also have our new film commissioner for the state of Minnesota, a woman of color. She will be in the house. I will be moderating, and we'll be asking intense, in-depth questions about our community. How do we not just break in the door? We're no longer breaking through the door. We're building our own table, and we're making sure that the door is no longer existing. Why? Why was the door placed in the first place? Because they thought we didn't know how to do what they can do. But we do know the ins and outs. We are highly educated, but we're also bringing our village together to educate and provide mentorship, whether that looks like you and I, or that looks like our affiliates. Mm-hmm. And yes, our affiliates will be there. Uh-huh. They will be there in support.
Shout them out. shout out your affiliates.
All of our affiliates are from Film North to Twin Cities Film Festival. Those that don't necessarily carry the melanated bloodline, I will say that. Those are our affiliates. And they have outreached to us in full support, that they understand our initiative, they stand behind, and they stand with our initiative with anything that they can provide as far as scholarships at Film North for schools or after-school programs, what we're actually trying to do with North Community High School in partnership to assist their film program that they have, that the equipment is just sitting there. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to do a couple of partnerships to provide more opportunities for vocational skills in film and television. So those are the type of affiliates that we're speaking about. But the village is the most important affiliate, I'd say. And that means you. That means each and every one of us coming out to this event to support, whether you enjoy movies, film, and TV, or you're in front of the camera or behind the camera. We need you to come out and support.
Well, take a minute to shout out the venue. I think it's an important decision you made. Your intention was to demonstrate how we work together across many channels. So you've been intentional in selecting a wonderful business owned by a phenomenal African-American couple. Talk about Power 365.
Power 365 is an outstanding platform. Anyone that loves golf, a lot of us enjoy golf. It's a golf simulator that's in Roseville, Minnesota. It has six bays where you can not only play golf, you can play Pac-Man. You can play darts. I was there Friday and I played darts. And I was like, wait, this is awesome. I could do this too. There are so many games that they have there that it's not just a golf simulator. It is something that's interactive for the family. While I was there on Friday with a couple of Minnesota women in film and TV people, we saw families coming in left and right with their little kids, teaching them how to golf, having fun. They have delicious food. The chef of Classics, a Black-owned restaurant, it's the one that curated their menu, and it's delicious. I cannot wait for everyone to taste their flatbreads, their wings, and their drinks. They have a mixologist that's there. We're going to have a couple of signature drinks there for people to enjoy. And we have, you know, hors d'oeuvres for everybody to enjoy as well. But Par 365 is the place to be. It's a great place to network. It's great for the family, and it's also great for organizations like ours to bring people together. And that's what it's about.
Well, Jocelyn, let's close the interview with the invitation again. Why don't you invite people? We can't discuss prices here on KFAI, but you can certainly invite people to show up and to learn and to be in community together. So make the invitation if you would.
Everyone, Black, white, red, yellow, does not matter. You support film and television, you love watching streaming Hulu and HBO, come on out. If you work behind the camera, come on out. If you work in front, this is for you too. We are right now igniting the entire village of creatives to come together and support one another. But not just listen to an expert of panelists talk about their journey and how to break in, but this is a time for us to break bread together. So I challenge you, October 26th, 2:30 p.m. at Par 365. Come out, invite a friend, come and fellowship with us, get to know us. And let's say you're an investor. Come on out. There's tons of filmmakers that need investors to tap into their ideas and projects. And you can go to mnwift.org. That's MNWIFT.org. You can find our tickets under events, Melanated and Inclusion. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much. So good to see you. What a wonderful conversation. I look forward to supporting, following, and lifting up your work as you proceed. Keep up the good work. Say hi to mom and dad and to all of my friends in the industry. It's going to be a great weekend, great program. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Al McFarland. This is The Conversation with Al McFarland. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more interviews in just a moment. I'm Al McFarland. You're listening to The Conversation with Al McFarland. And I'm continuing my conversation with a person that I call a heroic young visionary entrepreneurial achiever. Her name is Bianca Rhodes. Bianca, I'm dropping it on you. But that, in the spirit of expectation, because I know that you've already delivered great things for our community, and I think you're going to keep delivering. In fact, I'm so impressed with you and is it Janae, who I just interviewed earlier?
Jocelyn
Johnson.
Hey,
yes. You guys are a age group, a cohort that really is moving into the arena of community with such fierceness and such competence and such boldness and conviction that you know who you are, you know who we are. You also know who and what the adversaries to our advancement are, and you're not afraid, and you know that the genius in you is providing a pathway to healing for humanity. For that, I thank you, I celebrate you, I elevate you. And so let's talk about your one of your newest ventures, and that's your gallery, not your gallery, but your exhibit, your new business. So describe it again.
Yes, so this is Be Lovely Production and LeMay Photography. This is LeMay Photography's very first photo exhibit. LeMay comes from my grandmother's, Bertha Lee Fondren and Georgia May Johnson. And I'm so excited because this is actually maybe like 15 years in the making. there are people that still think that there aren't any Black people up here. I would get so upset, especially like when transplants come, and I'm very welcoming. I heard that some Black Minnesotans are very welcoming, but I would hear them say that, and I was just like, that is not the case. We've been here for a long time. And different types of legacies and different types of things, like the Minneapolis sound. Just there's so much beauty that is going on. And so what had happened was, so I was running and gunning, you know, in my early stages of my media career. And I was just taking the pictures, doing the work, and not really looking at my artist's eye. So I was running around, but I was still creating art, not just taking the pictures to just cover it. And something said, well, first of all, I had never printed my work before. I had just been, you know, running. I was great, like doing like 48-hour turnaround time for my clients and stuff. So they had their stuff. They couldn't say they didn't have their stuff from my company. And so I went through and I found 12 pictures. And they all have different themes, maternity, car show, hip hop, theater in a way. I didn't know. Like I had just been doing the work, and I didn't know how beautiful some of my work came out. So I wanted to show everyone. It's been great because my roommate, shout out to my roommate, she was like, "That's you?" I was like, "Yeah, that's me. I took that picture." Like, so I'm very excited. I'm actually installing the photos today, which I'm so scared, but it's gonna be fine. Shout out to Minuteman Press for creating the words and the themes and all the things that make it into an exhibit. So I'm truly grateful for Minuteman Press over there with Frank and Diane, a great graphic designer. And so
this is an important Black business as well.
It's
doing business in the community.
Yes. And we already put the words up, and it just looks remarkable. And they listen, you know, great customer service. They are determined to make sure they do it right. So it looks amazing.
Awesome. Well, the event's going to be on October 22nd at Vibes. Vibes is at 943 Payne Avenue in St. Paul. Talk about the venue. Give them some...
Oh, my goodness. So this is another Black-owned business. This is on the east side of St. Paul, and it is a dance studio and event center storefront situation off of Payne Avenue. And it is absolutely amazing. There's multiple spaces within the space. As far as renting, you can rent the entire space. And there's different themes. So there's the event space, which is kind of basic, you know, wooded floors. You can put the tables and everything. The dance studio has that kind of tech floor, you know, if you go work out. It's this the Black regular, like it's kind of bouncy floor. We have what is called, well, first of all, there's a staircase that has all like 80s, 90s, like all the fun memories that 80s babies have. And then we have a spot called Grandma's House. So we have a spot where the furniture, the only thing that's missing is the plastic the furniture. We got an old school TV that has video games attached to it. We have an old school stereo system that is Bluetooth. My my friend and business owner, Martrell, did all the wiring, all the creation, the murals, everything in the space. Mm-hmm. And we have like a spaceship lounge that has literally like a mural of a spaceship and a in and out area. So it's literally has turf. So it's like you're on a football field. Mm-hmm. And then that lets out into outside so people can kind of be indoor and outdoor. And it's just an absolutely amazing space. We've had really cool events there. Our very first one was a cosplay movie night. So we had The Matrix, and then people came and dressed up as the characters. So we had all the agents. You know, it was really cool because we have three projectors that are attached to each other. And so it's a very different experience and an amazing sound system. So I was like, wow, it's like I'm watching it for the first time. So
black people show up for this fantastic examination, right? A fantasy future. Actually, you know, it's a black future, Afrofuturism.
Afrofuturism, definitely. Yeah.
Is the word we're hearing. So let me do this. Let me share an image. People who are listening on radio have to simply use their mind's eye to see this. But I've got your flyer promotion for the event. It's hashtag MN Black Life, Minnesota Black Life, hashtag Men Black Life photo exhibit. It happens October 22nd. Is it just one day or does it open that day?
It opens that day, and we're still trying to figure out how long we're going to keep it up because we have other events that are coming up and they might not want it on the walls. So we'll find out. Hopefully I get to keep it up for a few weeks so other people who missed the grand opening can come and see it.
So you have three images on this flyer promotional piece. Walk us through these images. And so what you're going to do is have the people on the radio see it in their mind's eye as you describe it, okay?
Yes. So the very first picture I call Womb Love, the beautiful family, Lewis family. They now live in, I think, like San Diego. They live in California now. But this was their second child, and they wanted maternity photos. And she is the mom, has her belly exposed, and the father is holding her belly, and then she has her hands on his hands. And what I loved about this picture, the way that I shot it, is that it looks like a universe, like it looks like a world, and they're holding this. They literally are holding a whole world in their hand.
And they are.
It's beautiful, and I was so proud of it. The middle one is called Strong Black King. So I had this fashion jewelry. Some of my friends just, everybody's got an idea. And so they're like, yeah, this would be great. Let's do this. And so they wanted to show off the jewelry, but also show Black men in a way that they're not normally seen. And so his hands are behind his head. And the jewelry is hanging off of his back. And in a way, I wanted to reclaim that stance because you usually see that stance as another Black man getting arrested. And so I decided to reclaim it and make it a thing of beauty. And that's how it came out. So that's the middle picture.
That's beautiful.
And then there.
And the background is that the model has tattooed. Tattooed bareback, and that's impressive as well.
Yes, thank you. And so the third picture I am most proud of, this is my friend Annette Lee. She was Annette Clark before that. And this is one of my, maybe like my fourth or fifth wedding I had ever covered. And I was so nervous. It was at Progressive Baptist Church. And her mom and her family is like community leaders and stuff. And so the whole time I'm like, please God, please don't let me mess this up. I can't mess this up. And so she was putting on her dress, and her family members, her mother and everyone was helping her put on her dress. And there was this point where she literally is surrounded by her dress, but it looks angelic. So I call it angelic bride. And it's black and white. And I'm featuring another picture from her wedding. And I'm just so proud of it because it's so, the thing about black weddings and stuff is just, you are determined, first of all, you're determined to outdo everybody. you want to outdo everybody, but that's the right. Other thing is just these moments that we need to take as a photographer. You're the one that sees it, like, okay, you need to take in this moment. I know everything is going on and stuff, but take in this moment. And I just snapped. I don't even know how many times I snapped on that one. But those are the three pictures.
Absolutely exquisite. I mean, just beautiful. This picture in particular, so warm, so I think divine. I think divine is the word. It's like filling the frame up, but the frame is like her garment, kind of like celestial. You know, the sky, existence, everything, and she is sort of peering into existence from somewhere. So that's beautiful. Yes. Good job. Thank you so much. I want to remind people that the exhibit opens on the 22nd, and it's going to be at a wonderful venue, Vibes in St. Paul, on Payne. So put that in your schedule, go over and check it out. Vibes is at 943 Payne Avenue in St. Paul. And the show is from 6 to 9 p.m. on October 22nd. Bianca, thank you for being here. I wanted to acknowledge that you're rocking Zeta Phi Beta in your hoodie. Tell us about Zeta Phi Beta.
So the best sorority in the whole world. Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. And we started in January 16th, 1920. And we have a very vibrant, what I call blue and white family. So we are constitutionally bound to our brothers, Phi Beta Sigma. And I'm a part of Iota Zeta Zeta, which is, we call them the OGs. So we were the first chapter, and then we also have Sigma Beta Zeta, and then our undergrads and all that kind of stuff. But I became a Zeta in 2017. My sisters, the love, our principals, scholarships, service, sisterhood, and finer womanhood, we truly embody that here in Minnesota. And there's so many different types of women. Like, we just had the step show, and oh my God, it was amazing.
That was at the U, wasn't it? Was it the U? Yeah.
Yes, it was at the U.
Yeah.
And my sisters, participated. My brothers actually won.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so just the coolest thing about that is we're not just Black in our sorority. So Mary Caruso, shout out to Mary Caruso. She can step her behind off. And she is like a scientist chemist over at 3M. So you would never know until you went to a step show that's how she rolls. And she's always been like that. It's never been a, you know, like, I'm just trying to get through it type of thing. Like, no, she goes hard and it's so cool.
She's down with it. They say.
Yes, she is. Oh, my goodness.
Well, Bianca, listen, thanks. So good to see you. So good to talk to you. And we'll be doing more. So we'll figure out how to get a cover shot of your exhibit on Inside News cover. We'll see you.
Cool.
Take care.
All right.
All right. I'm Al McFarland. We'll see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org. Non-commercial, community-powered.